Alexis, we are close to Mansfield. Go, find my father. Have him bring a doctor. I cannot walk with this deep cut. I shall remain right here until you return.
Very well, Martin.
But hurry. I'm losing much blood.
I severed the main artery in my foot, and there was little I could do to stop the flow of blood. Once again, I was afraid. Afraid of death. I prayed with many saints as I could remember. I prayed for help. I prayed, oh, Mary, Mother of God.
Your father came just in time, Martin. Another hour, and I could not have done anything.
How do you feel now, Martin?
Weak, Father.
Yeah, you'd better stay in bed a few days. I come again tomorrow and take a look at it.
Will he be all right, Doctor?
Yes, Doctor. Will my son be able to walk again?
He will, he will. Put your mind at ease, Herr Luther. He will be up and around in a few days. But you can consider yourselves very lucky. He came closer than you know to bleeding to death.
Seemed to be hovering about me at every turn. What if I should be taken away? What would happen to me? These were questions that were constantly on my mind as I returned to Erfurt to finish my schoolwork. My master's degree was soon accomplished, and I matriculated in the School of Law. At last, my father's wish was coming true. I was not exceptionally happy in the law school, but I passed it off as hard work. Then, one day, my friend Alexis was taken ill.
Come in.
Alexis, I hope I am not disturbing you.
No, of course not, Martin. Come in. Come in.
I could not believe it when they told me you were sick. You've always been so full of life, Alexis. What is it? A bad cold?
No, it is not that, Martin.
Well, whatever it is, you will be up again in a few days. You want any help with your studies?
No.
Oh, but you should not get behind. Alexis, what is wrong with you? Please tell me.
Martin, I am not going to have to study anymore. If...
What do you mean?
I am dying, Martin.
Oh, no.
The doctor has told me.
No, Alexis, I don't believe it.
It is true. It is true. Martin, I'm terribly frightened.
Frightened? But you should not be. Not really.
I cannot help it, Martin. I've tried not to be. But I am. And it is getting worse by the hour.
Is there anything I can do?
Just stay here for a while. It will not be so bad.
I will stay.
Martin, I have been so sure of myself up to now. I thought it cowardly to be afraid of death. But there is nothing I can do. I am afraid. Why am I, Martin?
I do not know, Alexis. I wish I did.
I hope, Martin, I hope for you that you will never experience this. I hope it is different for you. I would not want anybody to go through what I am going through. To be so frightened. Because I am not sure of anything.
Alexis died 2 days later. I felt a mixture of sadness and relief. Why was I relieved? Because I had shared that experience that he had not wished me to have. I'd been terribly afraid of death with him, and now the only difference between Alexis and me was that he was no longer confused.
decision that had been forming in my mind became more and more mature. Finally, I had to speak to my father.
No, Martin. I will not hear of it. You have just begun. You cannot give up the law career just like that for no reason.
But I am not interested in law. I know that now.
That is no reason.
Your father wants you to be a lawyer, Martin.
I know that, Mother. It is just...
I have had to sacrifice so that you could get an education. I wanted you to have a profession that would pay you well, so that you could even, well, help us a little.
Martin, what has happened to change your mind? Your professors tell us that you will make a good lawyer.
Yes, a good lawyer, a smart lad. That is what they tell us.
This has nothing to do with abilities. I told you, Alexa's death is...
Yeah, but we all have to die, Martin. That is the way of things.
That is right, Martin. We all have to die.
Yeah, that is true. I know we all have to die. But not like Alexa's. Not with such fears.
Well, that is just one of those things. Some are afraid, some are not.
But I knew Alexa's father. I knew him better than anyone. He was not afraid of anything. Studies, money. Alexis was never afraid of anything in his life.
Death is something different, Martin.
But it should not be. If he can be sure of everything else, why cannot be sure of death, too? Why should we suddenly be changed into the frightened creatures when we know we are going to die?
Martin, you are too upset. Go to bed, sleep. In the morning, things will seem different.
I am unable to sleep. I can see those eyes. Blue. Horribly frightened. It is not right, Father.
Just try and forget it, Martin.
Alexis should not have said that he was not sure of anything. He should not have said that. He should have known why he was living and why he had to die.
And do you know that, Martin?
I am not sure now, Father. That is why I know I must not study law anymore. There is something else for me to do.
The next night, I was walking in the meadows near my father's house. The storm was approaching. I was almost unaware of it. My thoughts were of Alexis and of death. It started to rain as I reached the hill surrounding the meadows. A thin, penetrating rain that soaked my clothes and added to the depression I felt. Then, suddenly... myself on the ground. The lightning bolt hit so close as to knock me over with its impact. I started to my feet, muddy and frightened, encompassed with the anguish and terror of death. The horror that I felt had grown with every meeting with death. The place, the time my leg was injured, Alexis dead. And now this meeting. I was afraid to face God. A decision that had been growing along with my fear was made in an instant. If I was to prepare myself for meeting an almighty righteous God, I had to become holy myself. And there was only one way that men thought they could become holy. And that was by entering a monastery and in solitude and in seclusion from the world, learning the way of God, the way of holiness.
John, what is all that noise outside of all?
I'm sure I do not know, Brother Joseph. It is highly unusual for the air to be so disturbed.
That has ruined meditation. I must see the prior at once.
Oh,
I suppose I should not think too harshly about my school friend who caused all that noise. It was simply immature reaction against my decision to seek God, to become holy, to enter the life of a cloistered monk. During the course of my life, I have witnessed many immature reactions to what I've done. It was on August 17th, 1505, that I approached the door to the monastery of the Hermits of St. Augustine. My motives in coming to the Augustinian monastery in Erfurt were of the highest and purest category. I was seeking God. Although the gray vault of the cloister often withheld from public view many unfortunate conditions of the depravity of man, I was to find that those same walls held many men who were devout and sincere, men who had discovered the truth of the gospel to the salvation of their own souls.
Yes, my good friend.
My name is Martin Luther. I've come to join your brotherhood.
Indeed, sir. Come in, come in. You must come and see our prior. He is Brother John Lang, a very good and devout man.
So I have heard. Your prior has an enviable reputation.
He is a good scholar as well as a prior. His knowledge of the Greek and Hebrew is unexcelled in Germany, I dare say. You are quite young to be entering this place.
It is of little importance, is it not? Especially when there are problems of the heart and soul.
True, my friend. Very well spoken indeed. Come, I will take you to the prior immediately.
You are Martin Luther, you say?
Yeah.
Have you thought carefully on this decision?
Indeed, I have. My heart is greatly burdened. I seek peace with God and hope to find it here.
You speak well. Are you a student?
I have completed my studies at the university.
Here? In Erfurt?
Yeah. I must have been a lawyer.
Indeed. Then this has been an important decision.
Yeah.
Martin, it is a hard life. It will be especially hard for you as a student. Unfortunately, the abbey must be maintained, and this means manual labor, doing menial tasks such as sweeping, cleaning, cooking, and so on. And then, too, the abbey, since it has no funds of its own, must eke out its existence through begging.
I have begged much of my life, sir. It was often the only way I could continue my studies.
Oh, I see. You apparently are quite devoted to studies. There is not too much time for that here. Although we do have a fine library, and we maintain the usual amount of meditation.
I'm willing to abide by all regulations.
You understand, of course, that you must be a novitiate for an entire year. You do not take final vows until then. And during this period, you do have the privilege of withdrawing from this order.
Yeah.
Very well. It is customary for each novitiate to take on a new name upon entering this cloister. Have you any wish in this matter?
Sir, since this is an Augustinian order, I should like to adopt the name of Augustine.
An excellent choice. I hope you will be able to study the writings of St. Augustine himself. We have a complete collection here.
I should like nothing better.
That will come with time. Now I will assign you to a cell, and you will receive your robe and cowl. You will also be informed by one of the friars as to our specific regulations and your duties.
Thank you, sir.
And may God bless you, Brother Augustine. There are few men in the world who desire to know nothing else but the truth. Sometimes these are the scholars, the scientists, the students, who care not where their intellectual journeys take them, providing the ultimate goal is truth. Sometimes these seekers of truth are not great men, but honest, simple individuals who burn themselves out for that which they believe to be right. Martin Luther was a composite of such persons. He was not an outstanding man in appearance or in wealth. He was a son of the soil, a poor man who had become a scholar, a doctor of philosophy in law at the age of 21, To some, he had reached the acme of his life. He could go no further. Now he must only reap the fruits of his intellect and education. But this was not the young Luther that came to us on that brown fall day. Here was a young man who was aware of his inadequacy, who was earnestly seeking holiness. But having this young scholar with us was not all pleasant business.
You sent for me, Father?
It seems the university does not like to see one of its famous graduates begging in the street. They have asked me to put a stop to it.
Oh, I am sorry if I have caused you trouble.
Oh, no trouble, Martin, but for the sake of peace, I will send you to beg in the country instead.
Brother Augustine.
What? Oh, yeah, Brother John, what is it?
My question exactly. What is it?
What is what?
That book you are so deep in. Here, let me see it. On the letter on the spirit, and written by St. Augustine.
It is a fine work. Do you know it?
St. Augustine's value was in that he did something. He wrote, and that well. Your value is also in doing, Brother Augustine. May I suggest that you spend your time not feeding your singular mind, but rather helping to feed the many mouths of our brotherhood.
And you can beg any better because you are a university graduate, Brother Augustine?
My studies have nothing to do with my begging.
Your active mind must miss all the books you've been accustomed to.
I do what I can.
So I've heard. We are all interested in you, Brother Augustine.
Oh?
Yes. We have all been quite impressed with your forsaking the things you had of the world. We have tried, in fact, to help you forget these things.
I know.
We are sure that your motives for joining us were right and pure.
I seek only holiness.
We are aware of this. And there is something else that we are very sure of.
And that is?
A student is not compatible to the life of a brother. You will not last a year.
My brother, I shall be here at the end of my year. My robes will be blessed, just as all the rest of yours. Be assured of that.
Are you fully cognizant of what it means to don your robe at the end of this year?
I think so, Brother Joseph. Poverty, chastity, and obedience. The triune vow.
The vow. It is just that. Right now, you can leave the cloister at your own will. But after you've taken the vow, there is no more choice.
I've given my life to God and his righteousness. If this life is the life he demands, I am willing. It is as simple as that.
But sometimes it does not remain so simple.
Brother Joseph was right. I suppose there was some jealousy in their treatment of me. This is understandable. They're human beings. My life during that year might have been a longer trial than it was, but for the understanding of the prior.
Brother Augustine, what are you doing here? In the chapel at this hour?
Oh. Hello, Father. I did not hear you coming.
Will you not be out with the others? This is the time for seeking alms in the city.
I know. But I could not throw myself away from this book.
Is that the Bible you are reading?
If it were not chained to this pedestal, I should take it to my room and read it day and night. Already I know many of these pages from memory.
It is rare that we see such devotion to the Word of God within these walls. Martin, you may remain here for today if you wish, to further read your beloved book.
Thank you, sir.
You should learn to read the scriptures in their original languages, in Greek and Hebrew. Then many of these obscure passages become clear as the day.
To learn these languages, it will be difficult.
You want to shirk such a challenge? I think not. When you are free, come to my quarters, and I will show you a new volume I have received. It is the Hebrew Lexicon by Reuchlin. You will find it most interesting.
Oh, How can I thank you, sir?
Remain true to the word of God, but Augustine. That will be thanks enough. Today, Brother Augustine, marks the end of your year novitiate. Today you will come to the chapel in these white gowns. Your robe will be blessed. You will take the vow.
I, Friar Martin, make confession and solemn obedience to God Almighty, and to the Holy Virgin Mary, and to the Holy Father Augustine, and to thee, the prior of this convent, who standeth in the place of the general of this order, to live unto death in poverty, and in chastity, according to the rule of the said Father Augustine.
I was indeed a pious monk. I followed the rules of my order more strictly than I can express. If every monk could obtain heaven by his monkish works, I should certainly have been entitled to it. Of this all the friars who have known me can testify. If it had continued much longer, I should have carried my mortifications even to death.
Brother Augustine, we have not seen you for 3 days.
I have been ill. I thought it best to spend the time in fasting and prayer.
You strive much to be holy, do you not?
I try to fulfill my obligations.
Such piety is good. But it should make you happy, not downcast, not sick.
What can I do? I feel so unworthy, so sinful.
You? Sinful?
Indeed. Every time I partake of the sacrament, I see my sin prayed before me so that I could verily cry out and protest my sinfulness.
Brother Augustine, you are already better versed in the scriptures than I. But do you recall the creed?
Ah, yes.
Repeat for me the latter part, where it begins, I believe in the Holy Spirit.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins.
Stop there.
I do not understand.
You believe the creed?
Yeah.
Then why are you not happy? You say you believe in the forgiveness of sins. Accept what God has promised. Believe in the forgiveness of your sins. Brother Augustine, I cannot tell you from the scriptures the exact words of those promises. You are more learned than I, but they are there. Believe God. Rejoice in Him.
The forgiveness of sins. I believe in the forgiveness of sins, but what does it mean?
My year as a novitiate in the Augustine Monastery near Erfurt was done. I was ordained Friar Augustine, and my life of service to God began. Yet, there was no satisfaction. I had accomplished what I had set out to do, but in the final result was disappointment. I was not holy. Inside the blessed robes of a pious monk, I was a very sinful man. The 2nd of May. My first complete service as a cleric of the church. The canonical hours were celebrated with torches. My father came riding into the city with an entourage of many horsemen to be present at the event. It had been difficult for my father to forgive my entering the monastery. But then circumstances caused the death of all my brothers. He saw it as a kind of judgment and tried very hard to reinstate me.
A great day, this. Your first mass, Martin.
I'm glad you came, Father.
Oh, I had to come. I had to see how you looked and felt and acted. You now have what you wanted, my boy. I would have had otherwise, but are you satisfied?
Yeah, Father.
Ah, then I must be content.
I hurt you very much, did I not? By giving up the law?
That is past. We shall try to forget it. What is important is that you have the answers that you could not find elsewhere.
The answers?
Of course. The reason you entered this life. Now you need not be afraid of death. That is good. Now you...
I had almost forgotten. All the excitement of this day and...
Forgotten?
God forgive me. I am no sure about death than when I entered this cloister over a year ago. In fact, I am more fearful than ever.
The mass then fell, and my sermon instructive. The day was one of complete paradox to me. I had often expressed my uncertainty to my brothers in the cloister, but either they did not understand or the answers they did give would make me feel worse than I did. That evening, I was appointed my 7x9 cell. It was here that I was to work out my holiness.
Brother Augustine?
Yeah, come in.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee.
Peace be with you, Friarline.
You conducted the service most beautifully, and your sermon was helpful to us all.
Thank you.
We have an honored visitor with us today, Brother Augustine, and he wishes to speak with you.
With me?
He is the inspector of all Augustinian institutions in Saxony, Brother Jan von Staupitz.
I have looked forward to this meeting, Brother Augustine.
You know me.
Friarline here has told me much about you. I have had opportunity during my lifetime to observe many young men. I admire your deep dedication to God.
Forgive me, sir, but are you not the Dean of Theology of Wittenberg?
I am, but first of all, I am an Augustinian. And my first love is with our institutions.
I should like very much someday to visit Wittenberg.
Yeah, perhaps you shall. We have only been established of a few years, but the Elector Frederick is a very devout man who desires a university of learning which will be of the highest standards.
Perhaps you will excuse me. I have other duties to perform.
Of course, of course. I would like to speak with Brother Augustine for a while, if I may.
I shall return after a while.
I marvel, sir, that you have time for both the university and the monasteries.
There is great need in our monasteries. Perhaps you have observed the lack of devotion among our people.
At times. Some are here only for our livelihood. Others do not perceive the importance of seeking God.
Exactly. Well, I have spoken of it often. Some would have me be a reformer of the church. It certainly is in need of reformation. But I feel that God would have me concern myself first of all with my own order. Perhaps I can be instrumental in guiding it into the ways of truth.
There are many good, devout men here.
I know, I know. You will find many such dedicated men among the Augustinians. You see, we follow the teachings of St. Augustine, who in turn relied entirely for his teaching upon the Word of God, chiefly those truths which are found in the epistles of St. Paul.
Is this different from other orders?
Yeah, because in other places there is not this emphasis upon the Word of God. Our church is divided. So few people realize this. The Dominicans, the Franciscans, and many others rely chiefly for their instruction upon tradition. How much more solid a base is the Word of God.
It is my constant pleasure and profit to read the Word of God.
So your prior has informed me. And, Brother Augustine, since this is a great occasion for you, I have brought you this gift. It is a copy of the Holy Scriptures for your own personal use.
Thank you, sir. This is the greatest gift any man could give me.
You no longer will have to steal away into the chapel to read the Bible there. Friar Lang has told me about that.
I cannot express the happiness this gift gives me.
But if my eyes do not deceive me, you appear to be quite sad.
Yeah, you are perceptive. I do not know what will become of me. I am a sinful man.
I think I understand what you mean, but you would explain further.
I do what the church commands with vigor. In fact, I do more than is required. But I have no peace. I make promises to God, but I cannot keep them.
My brother. Listen to the experience of an older man than yourself. More than 1,000 times I have sworn to our holy God to live piously. And I have never kept my vows. Now I swear no longer, for I know that I cannot keep my solemn promises. If God will not be merciful toward me for the love of Christ, and grant me a happy reception into his kingdom when I must quit this world, then I shall never, with the aid of all my vows and all my good works, be able to stand before him.
I must perish.
That is it. That is exactly it. Who may abide in the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? Not I, my brother.
Not I. Look at the wounds of Jesus Christ, Brother Augustine. Look to the blood he shed for you. Stop torturing yourself on account of your sins. Throw yourself into the Redeemer's arms. Trust in him, in the righteousness of his life, in the atonement of his death. Faith, Brother Augustine, faith.
It is so plain and yet it's so hidden.
There is much of God that is hidden, but be content with what he has revealed. In Jesus Christ, in him, God has said, you will find what I am and what I require. Nowhere else, neither in heaven nor in earth, will you discover it.
Thus it was that the truth of salvation dawned upon my soul. It was not of my righteousness that I could be saved, but of the goodness and mercy of God. Repentance before had been something odious to me, but now none was so sweet and more acceptable. How glorious are all God's precepts when we read them not only in books, but also in our Savior's precious wounds. This meeting with Jan van Stumpitz was the turning point of my life. I still lacked much in knowledge of God, but I now realized how I might find peace in Christ. I read the scriptures. Especially did I enjoy the study of the Epistle to the Romans. Here, the one phrase that became the cry of the Reformation, the word of the prophet Habakkuk, burned itself into my mind. The just shall live by faith. You call for me, Friar John?
Yeah, Brother Augustine. Please sit down. I have just received a communication from Brother Stopitz at Wittenberg. It concerns you.
Indeed?
You will be leaving us, my brother.
I do not understand.
Believe me, it is a great honor for us to have you go. Brother Stopitz has spoken of you to the Elector Frederick. He is calling you to be a professor at the University of Wittenberg.
A professor? But that is impossible. I am a monk.
And you shall remain a monk. But you will be living in Wittenberg at our cloister. During the day, you will teach.
This is so unexpected. What am I to teach?
For the present, physics and dialectics. It means delving into Aristotle, I fear.
But I despise Aristotle. It is the false system which binds the church. Besides, I shall have to study more philosophy if I am to teach it.
You will have the opportunity of study as well. It is a good opportunity. Go, and may God bless you.
It was in the year 1508 that I was called to you to the University of Wittenberg, an institution which had been in existence then for only 6 years. It seemed that here I found my place in life. For I remained a monk, but I again became a student, and at times a teacher. It was not long before I received my bachelor's degree in divinity and began to teach the word I had become so dependent upon. Although this teaching was met with opposition, especially among those who saw the scripture as important only in its relation to philosophical thought, there were many who were strongly attracted to it. The classes grew week by week and included many foreign students. I had begun with the Psalms and then took up the epistles of St. Paul to the Romans. And strange thing, the more the students were impressed by God's word, the more I was. It was as though we were all learning together.
Brother Augustine, God blesses the teaching of his word.
In more ways than one, Vicar.
The classes are increasing all the time. I've noticed many of the professors attending.
Yeah. Some have come only to argue.
But not all. Brother Augustine, I have two requests of you.
And they are?
First, that you preach in the cathedral this coming Lord's Day.
But I am not a preacher, Vicar. At best, I am an
an experienced teacher.
True, true, but we need teachers in our pulpits, too. You have a message our people need, Brother Augustine.
There are 15 objections I could give you why I should not.
And I can give you 20 reasons why you should.
Oh, I know it is useless to argue with you, Vicar. By God's grace, I shall do what you wish. But pray for the occasion. Pray that his holy word may be unhindered.
You may depend on it. Now to my second request.
Yeah?
There is a delicate matter in which I need your help. It concerns the Augustinians.
Oh?
7 of our institutions are at variance with me on certain doctrinal points. I want to have them defined and decided upon at Rome.
At Rome?
Yeah. And since I am unable to travel such a distance, I want you to make the journey.
You want me to go to Rome?
Indeed. Your talents for discussion will serve me in good stead.
I must say, I should like nothing better. I've always wanted to see the Holy City.
But then you shall see it. You shall go to Rome. And the other thing I want you to do, Brother Augustine, is to represent me to the church in Rome.
Rome. I have been honored beyond what any poor monk would expect already. Taken from the monastery and made a professor at the University of Wittenberg, allowed to study and singularize myself in many things. But Rome. It was in the year 1511 that my friend and dean of theology at Wittenberg, the vicar general of the Augustinian order to which I belonged, sent me to Rome. How I have longed to see that great city, home of the Mother Church, holy grave of so many martyrs and confessors of Jesus Christ. The excitement that I allowed myself made the long trip to Italy seem effortless. Before I knew it, I was in northern Italy, in Lombardy. Is this the Brotherhood of the Benedictines?
Indeed it is. This is the chief brotherhood of Lombardy. Are you a pilgrim, brother?
I travel to Rome on business with my order, the Augustinian.
Indeed. Well, please come in. We shall try to make you comfortable. I dare say things are much different here in the Po Valley than they are in Germany. You are from Germany, aren't you?
Yeah, I am.
Our cloister is now a very wealthy organization.
So I perceive. I have never before seen so much marble. And I have never seen such robes as you are wearing, my brother, if I may be so bold.
Yeah, these robes are of silk, rich silk from the Orient. Here we are now having our repast. Would you care to join us?
Oh, I have fasted all day. It would be good. Thank you.
You see, we are endowed by the government. 36,000 ducats a year. 12,000 we spend on the buildings. Another 12 on our table for food, drink, and...
And the other 12,000?
Is it not common knowledge? That we spend on ourselves. It's a very pleasant life, sir. Here is the dining room.
Oh, I have never seen anything so beautiful. Sir, what is the meaning of this?
Beg your pardon, sir.
Is not today Friday?
Yes, it is. Why?
Why, you are serving meat on Friday. Surely you know that this is expressly forbidden by the church and the Pope.
Oh, that. That is an act of abstinence designed for the peasants only, my brother. We who have sacrificed our entire lives to the service of the Almighty are well...
I understand. I feel I must tell you, and then I shall be going, that the same law governs my order as a peasant. Now I must continue on my way.
As you wish. Perhaps you will be more in place at some peasant's table.
More of a surprise to me than I can express. It was his cloister. At the time, I thought it to be unique. I prayed for them and hurried on to the Mecca of imagination, Rome. the Lombardy monastery was infinitesimal compared to the disappointment that met me at Rome. Rome was an ungodly orgy. Civil disorder was rampant. People were robbed, beaten, even murdered in the streets. And in those same streets, the ordinances of God were being murdered. Masses were rattled out in hasty, meaningless ritual. I personally was ridiculed by my brothers for trying to make the sacrament meaningful. I was still a comparatively young man, a monk dedicated to my vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. You can imagine, possibly, some of the hurt that I felt, seeing most of what I considered sacred being perverted and even parodied by others who had taken the same vows. This was wrong. I thanked God for an organized mind, even if it was somewhat misled. In the midst of the dejection I felt, I decided to make good use of my free time.
Yes, what is it?
Are you Elias Levita?
That is correct, my son. What good can I do you?
I should like to speak with you, if I may.
Of course, my son. Come in. My abode is quite humble.
Oh, it is quite comfortable.
Now, what is it you wanted to discuss?
I am a friar from Germany, sir.
I perceived at once that you were a monk. It is not always that old Elias the Hebrew receives such callers.
You have a very great reputation for scholarship in Germany.
Indeed. Well, I merely study the scriptures.
That is why I have come. I am to be in Rome for several weeks, and I would like to study with you during that time.
Why? Why do you wish to study?
I love the Word of God. Although I have studied Hebrew for several years, my understanding of it is still poor. Can you help me so that I can better understand this divine book?
This is indeed strange. Very few of your people have such love for the scriptures. Perhaps things are different in Germany?
I can speak only for myself, sire. The scriptures to me are the only thing of value and in the entire world. I want to serve God. I believe we both do.
True.
We do it in our own way, but we have a common love for the Word of God. That is why I want to study and learn.
I like that. Yes, I like that very much. I shall help you all I can. It is pleasant for me, after so many years in Rome, to find someone who loves the Word of God. Did you expect to find what you did here?
I've been constantly surprised and saddened by what I've seen.
Your Saint Peter and Saint John, if they were here today, I strongly doubt whether they could say, "Silver and gold have we none."
And even more important, they could not say, "Rise up and walk." Just a tremendous lack of reverence on every side led me into deep self-examination. How lax was I in these matters? Did I have a right to feel that the others were any more wrong than I? In an agony of frustration, I found myself at the bottom of the Sancta Scala, Pilate's stairs. Here, for many decades, pious believers had taught promised years of indulgence and many blessings beside for crawling and kissing their way up that holy stairway. It was here that my introspection finally brought me. In complete self-abasement, I began the long, tedious ceremony, up the stairs, one at a time. The very stairs our Lord was led to trial. The stairs where the early Roman Christians had heard the words of St. Paul.
The just shall live by faith.
Up the stairs I crawled, my heart and soul filled with awe and reverence.
The just shall live by faith.
Every step significant, every action that of humility.
The just shall live by faith.
The just shall live by faith.
The just shall live by faith.
The words of St. Paul seem to echo down the centuries. The just shall live by faith. What was I doing? Why was I crawling up these stairs? For marriage? For indulgence? For life? But was this not faith? It was unexpressed faith in the actions I was performing. Continued a few more steps.
The just shall live by faith.
By faith? Yeah. But in what? And in an instant, the entire concept permeated over me. Jesus Christ, God's own Son, God's promised sacrificed Lamb, my sin sacrifice, Jesus Christ. Faith in his accomplishing what I could never do, not in a thousand crawls up the Santa Scala. Jesus Christ, I've already been rescued. My purgation is accomplished. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners.